Psalm number 23. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now we're pleased to John's Gospel in chapter 21. Just for a few verses there. John chapter 21. Verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Now turn again to 1 Peter, on chapter 5. First Peter 5, and verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now, 2 Peter, chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Saviour Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and so on. Verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Now look down just to the end of chapter 3, for a final verse. Verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Now that's a reading on. Again, we look to the Lord for his gracious help. Pardon me, I'll lean a bit closer to the microphone than usual. I was thinking, as we had announced over the past few days, that we have been looking at the life of Peter and how his ministry can be of great help to us as we likewise travel the roads of Christian experience. We did look at him over the last nights in a number of ways that we trust will be helpful as we thought of how he spoke about the period of our witness and the characteristics of the days in which he lived and in which we live. We noticed on Tuesday that his pattern, his walk, was a pattern for our walk, inasmuch as he followed in the steps of the Lord Jesus. We took a little look last night at the preaching of the word, as how he was engaged in it, and how that as well furnished a lesson for us in our handling of the scriptures, whether in the preaching of the gospel or in the ministry of the word to God's people. We did say that tonight we were going to look at the pastor and his work. The great matter of not only fish to be found as far as the evangelist was concerned, but a flock to be fed. And it must have been a great burden on the heart of Peter, I would think, a sensitive man surely, as he listens to the words of the Saviour in John 21 and finds incumbent upon him the solemn responsibility of what the Lord Jesus said, "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs." And I'm sure that as he was about to view the blessed Lord leaving and going up again to take his seat upon the throne of God, it must have lingered and weighed heavily upon his heart the matter of responsibility feeding the flock of God. And I think that his ministry in the epistles does let us see in various ways how he felt keenly that responsibility. The Lord could say to him on that other occasion, "When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And his ministry in his two letters are surely made up of strengthening truth that would be to the help and benefit of God's dear people. Now, I tried to put myself in his position, very poorly at that, but if we received from the Lord Jesus a word of that character, "Feed my sheep," I wonder how we would go about it. I wonder what kind of way we would approach it. Now, if we are given a job to do, if we follow a career of any particular character, and we are told a job to do, one of the first things we would likely examine was how others have done the job, how others have performed. And for that reason, we maybe go to the library and find a textbook, or we go somewhere else and find a manual that will let us see how the job should be done. That's true in every walk of life. Now, I suggested for our consideration on Monday night that maybe when Peter was writing his first epistle, he might have been reading the book of Esther. Just a number of interesting connections that may or may not be true in his experience, but we could trace a number of things that let us see that certainly the meditations on that book could have produced a similar ministry in the days in which he lived. I was wondering, as he sought to fulfill the ministry of pastor amongst the people of God, would he spend a wee bit of time in Psalm 23? He said, well, that's a familiar text to us. But that is the psalm that will let us see shepherding at its best. Psalm 23, for all we have come to know it, in wonderful comfort to our souls, what we are really looking at is David describing his own experience of shepherding at the hand of the Lord himself. I wondered, was Peter reading that psalm as he took up his pen, maybe to write the second epistle? Maybe a little bit of in his mind, even as he wrote those closing words in chapter 5 of 1 Peter. "Because I judge," he might have said, "well, what do I know about shepherding? Fishers of men, well, I've a bit of experience at the fishing. But what do I know about shepherding? What do I know about feeding sheep or feeding lambs?" And I wondered, would his mind go to the words of David and the familiar text of that lovely psalm that we have come to appreciate in our own present day and generation? For I believe there we have the secret of how shepherding can best be done. Now, just think about it. It'll not take us long to go over the points I have in mind. And I hope you'll consider, and maybe think about it, and add to them a little bit, how Peter would learn the secret of what it meant to fulfill the ministry of the Lord in feeding the flock of God. When we come to Psalm 23, that all the children, I'm sure, could quote by heart, apart from the adults in the company, I think that one of the first things we see established in the psalm is this: the importance of a relationship established. the Lord is my shepherd.
We're not talking about something distant here. We're not talking about something remote. We're not talking about something beyond the grasp or comprehension or understanding of the writer. He himself, on the sheepfolds, on the mountains of Judea, on the mountains of Bethlehem, would have known something of the relationship that was necessary between shepherd and sheep. And so I think at the very outset, one thing that would have impressed the mind of Peter, if he were looking for guidance as to how to feed the flock, if he were looking for guidance how to shepherd amongst God's people, he would see the importance of a relationship established. My shepherd. Could I suggest tonight to those in the meeting who may be exercised or gifted or fitted of God or indicated amongst God's people that this would be their work, their shepherd care, the importance of a relationship established between shepherd and flock? We need to get to know the sheep. We need to find that there is a relationship that has been established. We need to know that there has been a link that is formed. The shepherd amongst God's people, he will not be a distant man. He will not be one that's unacquainted with the sheep. He will not be one that's not approachable by the sheep. But there will have been a definite relationship established. Shepherds amongst us tonight, let us examine the truth in our own lives, in our own assemblies. What kind of relationship do we have with the flock of God? Is there something personal? Would they look up to you and see the character that David saw, my shepherd? Would they feel a oneness? Would they feel a bond? I think that that's absolutely vital for all who would put their hand to shepherding God's people. And I wondered, was that why Peter wrote in the opening verses of his letter, his second epistle? He says, you know, Simon, an apostle, a servant, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. What's he saying? He said, I'm just one of yourselves. I'm just someone that has come into the very same blessing that you have come into. He's not looking down at them. He's not lecturing them from afar. He's not guiding them at a distance and merely pointing out the way that should be taken. But he says, between us there is a like precious faith. A relationship established at the very outset of his letter. Now, I don't want to linger there unduly, and we'll try and get through the points that are on my mind. Let me just say this, dear brother. On the part of those that would take a lead amongst the saints, I would be ill qualified to, in any way, perhaps counsel, far less to lecture you. I would speak to the younger that are forming the part of the flock of which our brother has been reminding us over the past nights of ministry, even within the content and context of the local assembly, see that there is a relationship. See that the bond is established. See that there is a connecting link. It will make the shepherding all the easier. It will make the relationship all the better if we set out at the very start an important relationship established. We are all as members of the flock. Some of the difficulties that have cropped up, maybe I can speak only of our country, it may be true in other parts of the world, when so-called leaders amongst God's people decided to form and decided to perhaps legislate, decided to take certain steps, but little or no contact with the saints had been previously established. To my mind, that can only bring trouble and disaster. There must be a closeness. We are reading in another passage, our brother referred to it. Obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves unto them. They watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. Do you take an interest in the flock that God has committed to you? Again, we're indebted to our brother's ministry, not so much over the which, but among the which. the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers? Do they feel and understand a personal relationship with no distance involved right amongst the flock for their blessing and guidance and help?
When was the last time the young believers of your assembly enjoyed the hospitality of your home?
Would they know where you live? Would they know the furnishings in your house? Would they know the kind of dwelling you have? All this, to my mind, is wrapped up in the established relationship that makes them feel, not brother so-and-so at a distance 10 miles above the rest, not brother so-and-so remote, maybe spiritually gifted, maybe able in the scriptures, but not the kind of man you would go to ask a simple question for help.
No, no, says the psalmist, my shepherd. Says Peter, like precious faith. The importance of a relationship established. I see in Psalm 23 another important principle that is good for the developing of pastoral or shepherd care amongst the people of God, and that's the importance of leadership exemplified.
Leadership. We're only into the psalm. What's it telling us? He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And right away, not only is it someone with whom I am at home, not only is it a blessed relationship that I can enjoy in a personal way, but there's a leader there that I can follow, whose steps follow.
I judge, dear brethren and sisters, whether it's older sisters giving a good example to the young, or older brethren giving a good example to the young, we should all of us be moving in ways that saints can follow. We should all of us be moving in direction and pathway that the saints of God can follow us. We're always thankful. We looked at Peter and the footsteps and the footprints he left behind. We were happy to enjoy a walk with him around the shores that took him into contact with the Saviour. We were happy to move out in his company onto the sea, fasten our eyes upon Christ. We were happy to move into the sanctuary with him, up the hilltop for a vision of glory, or into the garden for a vision of grief. Happy to stand in the sepulchre and know the power and wonder of the defeat of death on Satan himself.
But tell me now, will the flock be always able to follow in the pathway of the shepherd? That the relationship established is good, but the leadership exemplified is vital to pasturing the flock of God.
Do we not see that? We turn to 2 Peter again. What are we reading here? We're finding that here's a man, he could say, you know, I have not followed cunningly devised fables. When we made known unto you the power and coming of the Lord Jesus, he said, you can safely walk in the steps that I have mapped out for you. I have been diligent, he said, to put you in remembrance of these things, that ye know them, and be established in the present truth. What's he doing? Leading them in paths that they can follow safely.
It is a great responsibility to be a leader amongst God's people. Sometimes younger brethren may think, well, now you know, to go along to the oversight meeting must be a great thing. Make the plans, write the speakers, make all the decisions. I would tell you, there's more burdens maybe that come with the job than blessings. More heartaches than happiness. It's a job, it's a work. It's something we should aspire to. If any man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Let me tell you, dear young men in the meeting tonight, dear young brethren, if you would like to aspire to be a leader amongst the people of God, make sure you're walking in paths that the saints can follow.
Make sure you're mapping out a pathway beside the still waters. Oh, learn to be a calming influence amongst the saints.
An agitator will never make a leader amongst God's people. And someone who can stir the pot and fan the flames of strife and blow upon the flame and ignite it and set the whole thing on fire. That is not the quality of leadership. There's something about bringing the saints beside still waters. The calming influence. I think we mentioned over the conference period something of the qualities of Caleb. When all the men about him were agitating, pointing out the giants, saying we could never accomplish or conquer the land, it says Caleb stilled the people. Now that's the quality of leadership that's prevalent. And that's the feature of the shepherd in Psalm 23. And that's the feature of the shepherd in 2 Peter chapter 1. The man with the calming influence, leading by the still waters, getting to know, presenting before the people of God, the calm, simple, plain truths of the Word of God, that their hearts may be refreshed thereby. But notice, leading in the paths of righteousness. There is the thought of unblemished testimony, as far as leaders amongst God's people are concerned. There is the thought of a pathway unblemished, untainted. We're not going through tonight the qualifications that are given by Paul in his letters to Timothy and Titus. But you will see, if you look at them carefully, these are men that are following a path of righteousness. These are men whose testimony is unblemished in the world. Men of good report of them that are without. Men whose business dealings are honest and honorable. Men who carry something of the weight of responsibility, of testimony in the world for the people of God. That's the quality. Now, says Peter, if I'm going to feed the sheep, and if I'm going to have the responsibility of pastoring amongst the people of God, I look to see how it was done here. Psalm 23. I follow the example as best I can. Look at his words. He talks about precious faith through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He talks about escaping the corruption that is in the world through lust, adding to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, and brotherly love. What is it if it's not a path of righteousness? What is it if it's not a measured thread that the saints can follow? They'll not be led into shady dealings by the shepherd of the sheep in Psalm 23. No, says Peter, by the grace of God, I want to be a shepherd of right character, and I want to map out a pathway of righteousness for the people of God to follow. He finds pasture for them. That's a good thing about a shepherd. He leadeth them in green pastures. The margin says, pastures of tender grass. Pastures of tender grass. I like the shepherd that can provide some food for the flock. Feed the flock of God which are among you. Be exercised, dear brethren, about food for the sheep. Some people can seem to manage to do their own feeding and survive thereon and be preserved therein and thereby, but they never seem to have a concern about feeding the flock and bringing them to fresh, green, tender pasture. That should be our exercise if leaders and shepherds amongst the people of God. The pasture, the still waters, the paths of righteousness, the leadership that is exemplified is characteristic of the shepherd in the passages before us. The importance of companionship enjoyed. Companionship enjoyed. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Companionship enjoyed. Peter maybe got a little sight of the valley in 2 Peter chapter 1, you know. What's he say? He says, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle. I wonder, did he take a wee look at the valley of the shadow of death? I wonder, was he meditating upon it? Did he see its shadow fall across his pathway?
Enjoy the company of a shepherd in days like that. That's a feature of shepherd care. Do you know anything about it, dear brother? Dear sister too? The company. The company along the road of life. It says about Paul, he took courage when he saw the brethren. He could say only, "Look is with me." He valued the fellowship of the people of God. And sometimes, when saints are nearing the valley of the shadow of death, it's very precious to have one come alongside. The Lord himself will never fail. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But it's good to show shepherd care. Company along the way. Company of younger believers. Again, we refer to our brother's ministry. The lambs and the sheep are all in the same company, and the shepherd is with them. The lambs and the sheep need his constant care. When was the last time you shared the company of younger believers to educate them and to encourage them? I sometimes think, and I wouldn't want to be overcritical, but the tendency that we see so prevalent in the days in which we live of younger people separating themselves from the older, I wonder at times if it's not being allowed to happen by a lack of interest on the part of older brethren and sisters. I wonder, is the tendency to stay apart and gather together? I wonder, is there a lack of company enjoyed? I'm always grateful for older brethren that took an interest in me. Only many of them here, but there were older men that took an interest in me when I was just a young fellow, took me preaching with them, took me into their confidence, helped me and encouraged me along the road. Mind you, that's those are vital. Our brother John Hawthorne, that passed away just a few weeks ago, was one of such that I always remember as a great encouragement in the things of God. You older brethren, take an interest in younger Christians. Interest to help them, to hear their problems, to share their burdens, and thus to move in the character of the shepherd of Psalm 23. And Peter hears his words, "Feed my sheep, I'll establish a relationship. The Lord's my shepherd. I'll be exemplary in leadership. I'll lead them in the right pathway. I'll enjoy their companionship. And I'll move with them along the roads, even difficult they may be, and share and enjoy the company as the days go by." I thought of the importance of fellowship experience. Now you say that's the same thing as companionship. Well, it's not really. When you look at Psalm 23, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, thou art with me." But the next verse goes on to say, "Spreadest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." I can see a table here and a cup here. Does that not bring us to 1 Corinthians 10, where our brother was mentioning the other night? Do I not see here the symbols of fellowship? Do I not understand that presented by the shepherd of the sheep, not only walking with me in days of trial and keeping company with me, but bringing me into his company, into his fellowship, into a table that he has spread, standing beside me in the valley? That's companionship. For spreading a table before me with a cup that runneth over, that's fellowship. Fellowship. Do we know something about it? I'm talking about older saints companioning with us, with the younger. What about fellowship? Gathering and enjoying the wonders of a table that God has spread. Gathering and enjoying the cup of blessing which we bless, the communion of the blood of Christ. Teaching them to observe all things and enjoying and encouraging fellowship in the things of God. I thought that we see the importance of worship and courage. Worship and courage. What's the reaction of this man as he thinks about the shepherd? "Surely goodness and mercy followed me all the days of my life." Retracing the pathway. Enjoying and praising God in remembering the past
I can see that in Peter's ministry. What does he say? Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Oh, he says there's a wonderful thing here, that we've been enjoying the goodness of God, and it causes our souls to rise in adoring worship. May God help us in our exercise to feed the flock, to be producers of worship in the presentation of all God's goodness to us. Now I finish the importance of citizenship expected. How does the psalm close? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What does Peter say? So an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What does he say? Seeing then, in chapter 3, seeing then we look for such things. We look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Ah, says Peter, if I'm going to fulfill the ministry of pastor amongst the flock, if I'm going to really be in answer to the Lord's explicit instructions, I'm going to need to be exercised about all of these things, and not just remind them of the past blessings they have received, but to point onward and upward and homeward, and remind them of the land to which we're going. May God help us all to dwell under the shadow of the Good Shepherd, to enjoy the ministry from his head. He tends with sweet, unwearied care the flock for which he bled. May God help us to enjoy his precious ministry to us, and so much the more as we see the day of his coming approach. May the Lord bless you.